Gospel according to Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was about 5 years ago that I went with a group from Luther Seminary to the Holy Land. We had lots of experiences as we went to the various sites, but one that stands out in my memory was the day that we went to the Jordan River. We had planned to do it on a different day, but you know how trips are. Our plans were changed. And so we talked about what we were going to do once we got down to the Jordan. There was one spot that they had all the tourists, anyone who wanted to be in the Jordan, there was one spot to go to. Even though it's a very long river, it's more than 150 miles from just about the Syrian border all the way down to the Dead Sea. It goes through the Sea of Galilee. But there's one spot that they had everyone go to. And so we were planning as a group to go down to the river together and do an affirmation of baptism and have a little prayer service and sing some hymns. We got there, not realizing it was an Eastern Orthodox day in celebration of the baptism of Jesus. I asked and was told that normally there are maybe 5 busloads of people at that spot. There were thousands of people. Thousands of them. Some of them were dressed in white robes. Some of those robes said that, of course, it was a garment that was worn for their baptism in the Jordan. So, you know, commemorative baptism garments were available for sale. Some people were dressed in ornate and elaborate costumes from whatever country they came from. And we were dressed like Americans. We stood out because we didn't seem to be prepared for what everyone else was coming there for. And we could hear singing across the river, because across the Jordan River is Jordan. And so people on that side of the river were singing. People on our side of the river in Israel were singing back to them. But the crowds were so immense that they could not let us all down at once. And so there was a barrier that was up, and they allowed only 50 people at a time to go down to the river. You could go down to the river, you could go into the river, you could be baptized, you could affirm your baptism, you could take your bottles and scoop up some water, but you were only allowed a few minutes there. So whatever you wanted to do needed to be done quickly so they could move you out and the next group could come down. And in order for me to even get down there, I had to grab hold of the hands of 2 of my colleagues. And when the gate opened, we pushed back, pushed forward, and made it through. And once we got down to the river itself, we saw that it was not a clear river, not like our Clear Creek is. And because there were so many people there, it was muddier than usual. And I looked in that and said, I don't think I want to go in. I think I'll dip my toes in and call it good and scoop up some of the water in my bottles and call it good. We had a little prayer time. And then it was time for my little group to leave. And we finally gathered as a class once we had everyone back again. As little pieces of us were able to go down instead of the entire group. And so once we all gathered above, we stood next to barbed wire and a warning not to cross because there were landmines. And we prayed and we sang. And it was then that we had the holy moment that we were looking for. Not in the waters of the Jordan, but next to a warning about landmines. And I have to wonder, what was it like when John was there baptizing? He wouldn't have seen the same things that we did. There were no landmines there. There were no young Israelis with weapons making sure that we stayed where we were supposed to. There were no people in a boat with a rope across it to delineate which part of the river belonged to Israel and which belonged to Jordan. And don't you dare cross to the other side. And I don't think that there would have been the thousands that I saw that day. Did they come in small groups? Did they come as a great crowd? On the day that Jesus was baptized in the waters of the Jordan, how many were there to see it? And how many knew what they were seeing? Mark's gospel begins by telling us of John coming to fulfill the words of the prophets Isaiah and Malachi, that one was going to come to prepare the way of the Lord. And John does. And John points to the one who is to come after him, the one that he says is so much more powerful than he, that he can't even be that one's servant to stoop down and untie the straps of his sandals. Does John realize at that moment who he is baptizing? Mark's gospel is very spare. You'll see that we don't have the details that some of the other gospel writers have about this event. What we do have in this gospel is Jesus being baptized by John, and as he comes up out of the waters, the heavens tear apart. And the Spirit of God descends like a dove. The way the Greek is translated, it's not so much that the Spirit descends onto Jesus like a pigeon would on a statue, but instead that he goes into Jesus. Into Jesus. And Jesus at this point is ready to begin his ministry. First by going and being tested in the wilderness and then starting to call his disciples together. But what we see in this moment is that we do not have a tame God who wishes to be confined, but a God who tears apart the heavens. And this makes sense if we go back to our first lesson that talks about creation. And if you think about the way that ancient peoples considered the earth. So you had the earth and the waters underneath it, and you had the dome and waters above. And every now and then one of the sort of skylights would open and water would pour down. And so God was safely up there in the heavens. And people were down here. And so there's a distance between God and people, and a dome. And so at Jesus' baptism, what we see is a tearing of that dome. We see the tearing again at the end of Mark's gospel, a tearing that occurs after the death of Jesus, when the curtain of the temple is torn from top to bottom, just because now there is no barrier between God and people. God is here with us. All too often we want to confine God into a box. God is something we deal with for an hour on Sunday or when we have a special need for prayer. But otherwise we want to take God and confine God. And God is safe in this little box, just like he was safe up there in the heavens and people were down below. But that barrier has been torn apart. And there is no safety in our God. Our God is not tame. Our God is wild. And that's what we see in the baptism of Jesus. The tearing apart of the heavens. We see Father, Son, and Spirit. We see that God is actually enfleshed and with us. And what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us that in the waters of baptism we say and we believe that we die to Christ, and just as he was raised, we will also be raised? What does it mean when we say the Spirit came to us in baptism? What does it mean to say that God is with us? And as I like to say, God is always with us, will never abandon or forsake us. God is with us, and God is with us as individuals and as church. And so what does that mean for us if we believe that God is with us as a church? How do we confine and contain this God who wants to be such a presence in our lives and the lives of the world? What does it mean to believe that God is on the loose, making things new once again? Always making things new. Here we are in the beginning of January, and we have all of 2024 but a few days ahead of us. And how will we take this reality of God with us, God among us, God acting through us? How do we take this message into a world that so desperately needs it? A world where we still hear of war, where we still hear of how people do not see the image of God in one another. How do we in our lives shine forth the light of God? How do we demonstrate the work of the Holy Spirit present with us and wanting to be let loose in this world? And that is our challenge for 2024, to see how God continues to renew us and continues to work through us. And the world needs to hear that and to know that our God has not abandoned or forsaken anyone, but wishes to work through us to bring all back to God. And so let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of the waters of baptism. We thank you for the renewal that occurs every day as we recall our baptisms and recall the gift of your Holy Spirit. And let your Spirit give us courage to live out the reality of our baptismal calling. And help us to go forth into the world to let the world know the good news that you are at work in the world, that you are at work making all things new. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, which is Morning Cry, number 732.